Welcome to Pick Me Up, I'm Scared, the podcast.
I'm your host, Madeline.
And I'm your co-host, Kenna.
Okay, Kenna, today I wanted to ask you, what is the most out-of-pocket you have ever paid for a medical procedure or appointment in the United States?
I can tell you that because I just paid off my back surgery this week.
Ugh.
It was nearly $3,800.
And that's with insurance, to confirm.
That is with insurance. Okay. I think, you know, pre-bill everything, it was something like $60,000 or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I paid $900 once, and that's like the most I've paid, but I felt like I got out pretty cheap even with that one.
Yeah. I also recently had an out-of-pocket expense for something that I did not realize was out of network, and it was for something so, it's seemingly silly, but I was having jaw problems that were giving me really terrible migraine headaches. So I went to have a doctor just look at my TMJ, and it was $850 for like an hour, maybe, consultation, if that.
Wow.
Where he just looked at my jaw and told me some jaw exercises.
That reminds me of one time my boyfriend went to the doctor and they asked him if he smoked. And he was like, sometimes. And then they were like, you should quit. And then they billed him for tobacco counseling. And that was the entire conversation that happened. Those three sentences back and forth amongst both of them. Yeah, billed for tobacco counseling.
Yeah, and it was wild because I was like, I'm not even like at the dentist right now, which I feel like is maybe like a dental issue. And it costs more than I have ever paid at the dentist. Wait, no, at the dentist I have paid, I cracked a tooth and that was $800.
Yeah, so obviously we live in the United States and our healthcare system here is pretty fucked. But the thing that boggles my mind is why some people here think our healthcare system is great.
Yeah, I wonder that.
Yeah, so today I obviously want to talk about universal healthcare.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, so the U.S. is unique compared to other comparably wealthy nations, and that we are the only country in what people call the developed world, which I don't know how I feel about that term, but usually people just mean post-industrial wealthy nations. We're the only one out of those without some sort of system of universal healthcare.
Not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, China almost has universal health care. They have like 95% of people covered, and they do have like some deductibles and things like that, but they're working on moving towards a truer universal health care. They have more than us, though.
For some reason I thought because China is communist that they would have like 100% universal health care.
Well, that is just a weird moniker they have, because they're not actually communist, because 80% of business in China is privately owned.
I knew that, but for some reason I thought with like social services and stuff, not to be like, oh, China, blah, blah, but I am just realizing that I have a lack of knowledge.
Yeah. No. So I think that China, I think they just kind of call themselves communists, but they're not actually doing a lot of communism, but they do have more social safety nets and social services than the United States does. Like they just did that whole campaign to like end poverty. And now they have like these really low poverty rates, but the people who are living in poverty, they're like, oh, they're in remote villages we don't even like know how to get to because China's so huge and old. But that's interesting. Yeah. So no, yeah. China, it's better than us. They're working on making it the best it can be in the healthcare, I guess, compared to other countries. But you know, here it's really bad, obviously, but we've made it a little better in our lifetime. Like, do you remember before 2010?
Oh, before Obamacare, it was fucked.
Yeah. So prior to the Affordable Health Care Act of 2010, 46.5 million people in the U.S. had no health insurance at all. So now,
I did not.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Once I graduated high school, I didn't have health insurance until even with Obamacare, because of all, until I was like in my nearly 30.
Yeah, and also you and I are of the age where we were kicked off our parents' health insurance policies a lot younger than people today. Now you can be like 25 and still on it, I think.
I think it's 26.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we were like you had to be in college after 18 to still be on it, and then they would cover you through college, and then once you graduated college, you were off. That was our age.
Yeah, I think that sounds right for me.
Right. So, you know, now the number of uninsured people in the U.S. is just 27.5 million, which is obviously still a lot, but it's almost half of what it was before we had that anyway. And anyone who's encountered healthcare here knows that even if you do have health insurance, it's really expensive in the United States. And sometimes it feels like it's not even worth it in the greater scheme of things, based on how high medical treatment costs are and also how high out-of-pocket expenses are, even with health insurance.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about that TMJ appointment.
Right, right. and actually, like, I had dental insurance recently, and I went to talk to them about getting my wisdom teeth pulled out because I've had my wisdom teeth, you know, forever, and they're definitely impacted and they get infected and they should not be in my mouth. And the dentist actually said that it would be cheaper to run me as an uninsured patient than as an insured patient.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was still prohibitively expensive. It was thousands of dollars. I couldn't afford to do it.
My mom made me do it like the month before the insurance ran out, which I think was when I was 18.
Yeah, that's really smart.
I actually had fucking 5 wisdom teeth. They found an extra one in there.
That's kind of metal. I like that. My mom grew 3 sets of teeth.
I'm like a shark.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. My mom's a shark too. Yeah, so the average American spends around $703 a year on out-of-pocket healthcare expenses, which is in addition to the monthly premium, which is just like how much you pay to have health insurance. The monthly premium, which is an average of $456 per person or $1,150 per family here.
Hmm.
So this means that the average American can expect to spend out-of-pocket around $6,175 a year just on healthcare.
I believe that. I still am confused. My mom is an HR person and tries to explain to me deductibles and stuff, and I'm still very confused.
Yeah, so a deductible is just how much money you have to spend before your health insurance even kicks in.
Yeah, but sometimes my health insurance will be like, this meets your deductible, this doesn't.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, of course. How could I forget? Certain things magically are okay and other things are not.
Yeah, like I just got a notice that now my prescription doesn't count towards my deductible, which sucks because I take Humira, which is like a list price of like $5,000 a month or something like that.
Wow. Yeah, well, and this average of $6,175 a year that the average American spends on healthcare out of pocket, it's pretty wild when you consider that the median income in the U.S. is $31,000 a year. So that means that the average American would need to work 411 hours or a little over 51 full-time days, which is a quarter of the annual work year, just to be able to afford their healthcare costs. And that's before taxes.
Ugh. That makes sense.
Yeah, so
I mean, it doesn't make sense, but like in the scheme of things, but it's just like, it's very expensive.
It is very expensive. And everybody here seems to be opposed to universal healthcare. So how would, like, do you know the definition of universal healthcare? Like, what it actually is?
I mean, I think universal healthcare is that everyone will be treated at the doctor's office regardless of income.
Right. And we kind of do that with like emergency rooms. Like if it's life or death, you'll be treated. But then you'll just get billed afterwards, like this huge amount. And then you'll, you know, you can go. Lots of people think for some reason that medical debt doesn't show up on your credit report, which is not true. It can. It just depends on if the hospital is nice and doesn't decide to report it.
Yeah.
But yeah, medical debt definitely can show up on your credit report. It can wreck your credit, you know, all of these horrible things. And so universal healthcare, by contrast, is defined as a system where preventative, primary, and acute care are all available to 100% of the population. So our emergency room thing is kind of like acute care. Like if you go to the emergency room, they're going to treat you whether you can pay or not. But under universal health care, the preventative, primary, and acute care all are covered. So being the only wealthy nation in the world without universal health care, we hear a lot of arguments here in the U.S. Where people are like, oh, it'd just be impossible to implement here, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of arguments do you, like, have you remembered hearing people have against universal healthcare here?
Well, my mom's actual thing against universal healthcare, she's like, well, it'll put all the people in the health insurance industry out of jobs.
Well, that might be good because we have a labor shortage.
And it reminds, you know what it reminds me of? You know how, like, there's, like, all these people still pushing for coal because of, like, the coal miners. Think of the coal miners. There are more people who make their living off of YouTube than there are full-time coal miners in the United States.
Right. It's just one of those things where it's like stagnant, but like in reality, the skill set could be transferred into something different in like a different industry.
Yeah. Or it's just like, I think there's just more powerful lobby groups in coal and healthcare than there is in the influencer industry.
Yeah. The influencers need to unionize. I've been on this for a while. Yeah. So the arguments I usually hear against healthcare are like, the quality will decline if it's public healthcare, or like wait times will be longer.
Yeah. I get the, we have the most, like people are like, we have the most advanced medical technology because people pay for it, and therefore more money goes into R&D, which I don't know if is true.
Yeah. Another thing I hear too about the paying thing is that if it was like public healthcare, the price would just be too expensive, and then like all of our taxes would go up, and it would cost us so much money, and nobody knows how it would get paid for.
Yeah, you hear that argument a lot too, and I think weirdly there's just this other argument that's just like a classic conservative argument, which is just like, well, if you try, it'll just get worse. Like the futility.
Right.
Like, it's so funny to me how many people, their argument for stuff like this is literally just like, well, it can't be done. And you're like, well, why? And they're like, it just can't. It's impossible. And you're like, well, why? They're like, when you try to change, it'll just make it worse.
Yeah, the thing that I think is interesting for healthcare in particular is there is just so much social proof already. Like, every other wealthy nation is doing this, you know? But people are still like, it sounds impossible.
Well, you know, I feel like when I was younger, I worked in a plumbing office, and I would just listen to, like, NPR all day while I was doing, like, QuickBooks, like, just data entry stuff. And I remember this, I think it was like a BBC call-in show, and they were like, why should Americans like keep the, or like they were talking about like medical debt, and this guy called in and he was like, you know, I'm like in my 60s. He's like, I had to do a second mortgage on my house to pay for my like cancer treatment or something. And he was like, you know what? That's just the right thing to do. I just paid for it because you know, I was the one who got the disease and now I'm responsible for paying it. And I felt it was so sad.
It is sad. It's really brainwashy. Because I
think people think that it's like, to me, it's just like, you didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, where I understand people are like, well, I want to do the right thing and pay for this. And if we have universal health care, then people won't like work as hard or like take responsibility. When I'm just like, people think that health is a personal choice. It is not.
No, it's very systemic. And
people think that like, you're like, you did something wrong. Like when I had an illness come up, people are just like, well, what were you eating right? Were you doing all this stuff? And it's like, first of all, yes, but also second, that doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
I did not do anything to get this.
Yeah. Another thing I think about a lot is on this tip about personal accountability. You see stories online all the time of people who are like plus size people or larger people, and they'll go to their doctor and be like, oh, I'm having this weird medical issue. And the doctor's just like, lose weight. And they're like, that has nothing to do with my medical issue. And they're like, no, you need to lose weight. And it's like this really frustrating thing, because I've even known people, like friends, who were like, yeah, just stop going to the doctor. Because every time I went in, they told me to lose weight and it was super fucked up and they didn't help me anyway. And then I saw actually someone on like Reddit was just like, you know what? I got so tired of hearing this, because for years I have this mystery ailment nobody would address. They just kept telling me to lose weight. So I was like, fuck it, I'll lose weight then. And they did all of this work, like really unhealthy, like starved themselves, you know, like really, really put their bodies through hell that they should not have had to do to try to just get their BMI to the magic number, which BMI is bullshit, right? To get to the magic number where the doctor couldn't blame it on their weight anymore. And they said the second they went to the doctor was like, holy shit, you have a really like rare condition, and started ordering all these tests and all these things. And they finally were able to address the root issue. But it's like, I think that plays into the personal accountability. Like, even doctors don't want to believe something could just happen to you.
Well, there's a really great podcast about just that called Maintenance Phase.
Yeah.
That I highly recommend, that talks a lot about that.
Yeah, it's really, really horrifying. And, you know, this is like only tangentially related, and this might be like trigger warning to people listening, because I'm going to mention BMI again really briefly. My whole life I have been a child-sized person, so I have always had like a very low BMI, like I'm dying. Like it should have been a medical concern to people who looked at me, even though I was just like a weird freaky skeleton. I went to the exact same doctor as my friend's boyfriend, and his BMI like categorized him as medically obese, you know, which like whatever the BMI is, bullshit. Anyway, my BMI categorized me as like near death, and being underweight is like they say 2 times as likely to cause premature death as being like having a higher BMI or whatever. Same doctor that we went to. I didn't realize this till after we talked, and I was like, holy shit, I go to that doctor. And his doctor, like the same doctor to him, brought it up constantly. How unhealthy the BMI, unhealthy the BMI. And I pulled up my medical records and I was like, my BMI was also unhealthy, but on the opposite spectrum. Doctor never mentioned it to me once. So it's just this double standard.
Yeah.
And like the weird accountability thing, I think, too.
Also, the BMI was created by insurance companies.
Oh, God. To try to make you feel guilty about something, or like so you don't have to pay as much or something?
It's all about like actuarial stuff. And if you think about it, the people who are probably getting like this, you know, I think it created in like the 50s. So think about who's buying life insurance in the 50s. It's like...
Like dads.
Exactly.
Dads, yeah.
Like yeah. Middle class dads.
Right. So, okay. So whatever. So long story short, we know... medical, it's fucked up, and we're very focused on personal accountability here, and that probably like plays into like how we think about healthcare, right? Like we want to blame people if they get sick, when it's just like, what? Sometimes people just get sick, and also like sometimes things are systemic issues like poverty or racism.
Also, just as you get older, everyone will age, and things go downhill.
Yeah, we all need medical care. Yeah. So despite all of this, we have all these people who are like, well, the universal healthcare, it won't work, it won't work, it won't work. And, you know, the three things that I think people do cite the most often is the quality would decline. Like I said, the wait times would be longer and the price would just be too expensive. So I wanted to take a minute to like look at some of these issues and how countries that do have universal healthcare deal with them. Obviously, I don't know how other countries manage the bias that the United States has. I know that we've talked about in other episodes before how there's a lot of medical bias, right? And sometimes it gets codified and it involves a lot of racism and it involves a lot of classism and definitely involves a lot of things like fat phobia or whatever. But we are going to talk about these three things and how they pertain to the universal healthcare thing. So the first one I want to talk about is quality. And this one is super funny to me because there are actually people in the world who believe that the United States has like the best healthcare on the planet. Have you ever heard this? People say this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Especially because all data on this subject indicates that, like, no, we don't. And in fact, our healthcare is actually pretty shitty compared to other countries. But people, like, genuinely believe this. They think we have the best healthcare. So this one study compared Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Netherlands, New Zealand, Sweden, Switzerland, the UK, and the United States, and found that the United States ranked last in every single category of comparison, which was access to care, care process, administrative efficiency, equity, and healthcare outcomes, except for one, which was care process. We came in second there, but it still wasn't enough to bump us up out of that overall last place ranking for all these countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the US, we have only the 36th, like, best health in the world or whatever, compared to 169 total countries surveyed. And we talked about this before. Our life expectancy globally is 46th. We're ranked 46th in that. And it is the lowest out of comparably wealthy nations. And in terms of overall health, the U.S. ranks behind Canada, Cuba, Chile, somebody taught me how to pronounce it online, and Costa Rica, in terms of overall health. Those are just a bunch of random C countries because, you know, a lot of times when they compare us, I feel like they just compare us to, like, Western European, like, other, they're like the white people countries, but, you know, the not white people countries also doing great at healthcare compared to us, so I just wanted to throw that in there. And the top 12 countries in the world in terms of health in that same study were Spain, Italy, Iceland, Japan, Switzerland, Sweden, Australia, Singapore, Norway, Israel, Luxembourg, and France. Israel in this list, I understand that is a politically fraught thing to Israel, Pakistan. It's on the, that's what they said on the list. They did that. I am not making, whatever, I'm going to continue. Okay, so this study found that the top key issue affecting health in these places was access to universal healthcare. So in fact, all 34 countries that ranked ahead of the United States in terms of overall health, all of them provided universal healthcare to their people. And in another study, the U.S. ranked 70th, sorry, that was hard to say, out of 132 nations in terms of health. In fact, Americans are typically found to live shorter lives in poorer health than other countries. And experts think that the prohibitive cost of our healthcare here means people are basically putting off doctor's visits for preventative care that would have helped save their lives long term. So basically, we're too afraid to pay for anything, so we just don't go to the doctor until we absolutely have to. And that means that we miss out on a lot of stuff. You remember how like the number two causes of death, like one and two causes of death in the United States were heart disease and cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, cancer in particular and heart disease, if you don't catch those things early on, they're more likely to be fatal. And if you can't afford to go to the doctor, you're not going to be, you know, in a hurry to go check these things out regularly and get screened for them.
Yeah, or they might be, you know, you think minor and you like, I don't want the doctor to like gaslight me and pay a bunch of money.
Yes. So this is where like the kind of bootlickers chime in and go, well, you know, I can afford healthcare. So if you can afford it, our country has the best, right? This is what you kind of hear. But actually, that's not even true. So while the U.S. does have some top-tier doctors for, like, the uber-wealthy, the country regularly cited as having the best doctors on the planet is Germany. Yeah, and additionally, the U.S. has things like the highest infant mortality rates compared to other countries.
I knew that one.
Yeah, American women are more than two times as likely to die in pregnancy or childbirth than women in other wealthy countries.
Wow.
And also, that's a heavily racialized thing as mm-hmm. well. Black women are disproportionately at risk of death and complications during childbirth, and their children, their babies, are disproportionately at risk of premature death just because their doctors are so fucking racist. And almost 30% of Americans have multiple chronic medical problems compared with an average of just 17% in other countries. So the quality of our healthcare is not great. It's not working great. And it's kind of proven that a lot of other countries are doing a much better job than us at this. And then that kind of brings me to this issue that I've heard the most from my conservative family members is like, but the wait times. This is the one I hear the most. I don't know why. They're always complaining about the wait times. They're like, in other countries, the wait times, blah. Well, here in the U.S., we have long wait times too. So this always confused me.
Yeah. When I was first trying to get a specialty doctor, I had to wait 3 months.
Yeah, I just tried to make an appointment with my doctor in October, and the soonest appointment available was the end of January.
Yeah.
And before you think like, oh, maybe they were triaging the most urgent cases, this was literally for a checkup to see if my precancerous cells had grown back. So it was like, not life-threatening. That's a pretty serious thing, yeah. You know? And even then, they were like, okay, yeah, October, November, December, so it's like 4 months almost. And studies show that our experiences are not unusual. In one comparison of wait times by country, the U.S. came 14th out of the percent of people seeking appointments who had to wait over 1 month to see a specialist, which is almost double the amount in Switzerland, Germany, or Netherlands. And studies also show that like using four metrics, including access to same or next day treatment when needed, access to specialized tests like CT and MRI scans, access to specialists, and access to elective or non-emergency surgeries, results continue to show that the United States performed worse than several other nations with universal coverage. For example, only 51% of U.S. patients reported being able to see a provider within a day, compared to 53% in Germany, 56% in France, and 67% in Australia.
Also, like, I'm just thinking about, like, in terms of wait time, like, how many people do you think know that something is going to cost, like, a couple $100s, like, a procedure, so they put it off until they can save enough money to pay for the procedure?
Right, and then you still have to wait on top of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Also, nearly 30% of U.S. doctors reported that their patients have difficulty getting a specialized test, compared with only 11% of doctors in Australia and 15% of doctors in Sweden. In the United States, 4% of patients reported waiting 4 months or longer for non-emergency surgery, compared with only 2% of French patients and 0% of German patients.
Whoa.
Yeah, and 6% of U.S. patients reported waiting 2 months or longer for an appointment, compared with only 4% of French patients and 3% of German patients. So in nearly every category, the United States was outperformed in terms of wait times by Germany and France, both of which have universal health care. And for general care, the top three places with the least wait times were Australia, Netherlands, and New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah. So what we see here is we're getting subpar care. We have to wait a long fucking time for it. And that brings us to the price. So remember how Germany had the best doctors and like surgeons in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Well, unlike in the US, Germans don't have to spend like exorbitantly large amounts of money to access those doctors. In fact, in 2018, the per capita healthcare expense for Germans was around $5,400 per year, compared to over $11,000 per person in the United States, which includes that out-of-pocket $6,000 a year figure we talked about earlier, and then an additional, like, $5,000 per capita of, like, government or employer spending or whatever. And Germany is actually considered on the expensive end of healthcare costs, even though they pay less than half of what we do per person. So our numbers are just, like, exorbitantly high. We pay the most out of everybody in the world. So all of that just means that we're paying way more for way shittier healthcare. And we do. We pay the most in the world per capita for our subpar wonky healthcare. And one study showed that we pay more than every country in terms of physician and outpatient services, with the exception of New Zealand. But for New Zealand, it was only one single procedure that it cost more than us, and it was cataract surgery.
Huh.
Everything else was way behind us. I thought that was interesting, though.
Interesting.
Yeah. The rest were, you know, all like... Like, when I say behind, I mean, like, significantly behind us in terms of pricing. And then in that same study, it was found that we pay more for hospital admissions and administered drugs. And we nearly paid more than everyone for every category of prescription drugs, again, with one exception, which is this drug called, like, Kalydeco? I can't pronounce it. It was one specific drug in one specific country, the United Arab Emirates. But in every other country, that drug was cheaper than here, and every other drug in the United Arab Emirates was cheaper than here.
Huh.
So it's just like these two little random outliers. And these higher healthcare costs, most of it can be blamed on administrative costs, which make up 8% of our total healthcare spending, compared to just 1-3% in countries with the universal healthcare access. And another key component of this is pharmaceuticals, which cost on average $1,443 per person in the U.S., compared to just $460 to like $930 in other countries.
Yeah, that makes sense if you know the price of like insulin or some other drugs.
Right.
Like an EpiPen now, I think, is like $800.
Yeah, I have some info on that actually later, because it's pretty topical because of the recent House vote about all the insulin.
Mm.
Yeah. So then lastly, another area where we like are chalking up higher expenses is doctor's salaries. In the United States, doctor's salaries average like $218,000 per year. And in other countries, they still make a pretty good salary, but it's more like $86,000 a year to $150,000 a year. And I feel like here, doctors need to earn more mostly because of our exorbitant college tuition fees.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and their insurance.
Yeah.
And their malpractice insurance.
Right. But that would be a business expense, not their personal salary.
That's true, true.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the college thing, like, how much does medical school cost?
I mean, it's like a six-figure, it's like a house, it's like a mortgage.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, so it's no surprise that experts regularly remark that the U.S. spends significantly more on healthcare than comparable countries and yet has worse healthcare outcomes. People are always studying this in other countries. They can't figure out what we're doing and why. So have you ever seen those tweets that are like, universal healthcare would cost us $32 trillion over 10 years? Have you seen people tweet those?
I think maybe.
Yeah, so, okay, what's missing from those tweets is this additional little piece of information, which is that we are currently on track to spend over $38 trillion on our current healthcare plan over the next 10 years.
So we could save $1 trillion.
We could save $6 trillion.
Oh, okay, just that much. Okay.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, only $6 trillion. It's fine. It's not worth it.
Yeah, that means universal healthcare would be yet less expensive, for sure. And this isn't even like fringe accounting or like left accounting. Out of 22 different studies, 100% of them found that universal healthcare would actually be cheaper for Americans than our current system. And every single study predicted that it would yield net savings over several years, and that it was actually the only realistic option to rein in healthcare spending in the U.S., which has gotten out of control. According to The Hill, even the Mercatus Center, I think it's called, which is a right-wing think tank, recently found about $2 trillion in net savings over 10 years from a single-payer Medicare for All system. Those are the conservative ones who are trying to do the real tight accounting. Most importantly, everyone in America would have high-quality healthcare coverage, says The Hill. The first place alone we see savings is in those administration costs, because right away, Medicare for All, the proposed universal healthcare option here in the U.S., would do away with $600 billion of excess administrative spending on healthcare. And as it stands, we have to pay these high administration costs because thousands of insurance companies are individually negotiating benefits and rates with thousands of hospitals and doctors, not to mention using varying and complex, like, different billing systems and databases. In addition, it's estimated we would save between $200 to $300 billion per year on prescription drug prices alone.
Yeah.
So, Kenna, did you see that thing I was talking about, the recent news about every single Republican in the House voting against a cap on insulin of $35 a month?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So that just happened. Every single Republican in the House voted against it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And between 2012 to 2016, the price of insulin almost doubled, up to an average amount of $5,700 per year. And today, one vial of insulin can cost $250, and some people need 6 vials per month. The average, though, is around 4. And these are only covered by insurance once your deductibles are reached, which you talked about with your medication. And those deductibles, they're out-of-pocket minimums you have to spend before your insurance even starts to cover things. Some people have deductibles of nearly $10,000 a year in the U.S., which means they might never reach them. Which means they're just paying out of pocket.
Ugh.
58 million adults in the U.S. reported they were unable to pay for needed medication in 2019, which is nearly 23% of all American adults, up from 19% the year before.
Ugh.
So with these exorbitant costs, it's no wonder Americans are literally dying because they are rationing out their insulin since they can't afford the proper amount they need to stay alive. It's estimated that a quarter of people with diabetes in the U.S. are currently rationing their insulin, 8 percentage points higher than the global average. The number of people dying from insulin rationing in the U.S. is also on the rise. In other countries, insulin costs 8 times less than it does in the U.S., where rapid-acting insulins cost an average price of $111.39 per standard unit here. The average price in other countries is just $8.19.
Oh my God.
I know, it's heartbreaking, right? And we touched on this in our episode about lobbying, but it's no surprise that big pharma, insurance companies, and hospitals have been teaming up to spread misinformation and kill universal healthcare in the U.S. for years now. Hearing about how much more they are able to charge for medication and services under our current system, it makes sense that they would spend as much money as possible to maintain a status quo. According to OpenSecrets.org, Partnership for America's Healthcare Future, a group comprised of major drug makers, insurance companies, and private hospitals, has spent the last several months lobbying members of Congress, running online ads, and working with the media to drive down popularity of Medicare for All. From 1999 to 2018, the pharmaceutical and health product industry spent $4.7 billion in lobbying to make sure universal healthcare never became a reality in the U.S. And some of their lobbying efforts include intentionally misspreading information, wrongfully indicating that universal healthcare would provide worse quality service at higher prices with longer wait times, despite all evidence proving this is the opposite of the case. Additionally, contributions were targeted at senior legislators in Congress involved in drafting healthcare laws and state committees that opposed or supported key referenda on drug pricing and regulation, which is why the Affordable Care Act became the kind of wonky, watered-down thing it is today, rather than the full universal healthcare coverage that Barack Obama campaigned on.
Mm-hmm.
So as it stands, 56% of adults in America, in the United States of America anyway, report having at least one medical financial hardship that they're currently dealing with. And these financial concerns are leading people to literally gamble with their lives. 34 million adults in the United States know somebody who died after not getting the necessary medical treatment because they were unable to pay for it. And more than 40% of families with an annual household income under $40,000 a year are currently still uninsured in the U.S. And out of those families, nearly half said that they would have to use a credit card or a loan to pay for their medical bills. As pharmaceutical prices skyrocket and deductibles and insurance plans continue to grow higher and higher every year, more and more Americans view health insurance in our current system as not even worth it. But while our current system isn't great, losing the Affordable Care Act would be even worse. Recent decreases in U.S. health insurance alone contributed to 25,000 more deaths in the U.S. in one single year. And cutting the Affordable Care Act would throw out nearly 20 million Americans from their health insurance plans and cause an extra 68,000 deaths per year.
Yeah, like, I would have never been able to get insurance before the ACA because I have a pre-existing condition.
Right. So experts agree that what we need is actually more health insurance coverage combined with collective bargaining power against pharmaceutical companies if we want to catch up to all these other countries in terms of healthcare. And all evidence shows that universal healthcare saves lives and money. With the extra $450 billion annually we could save on healthcare by making the switch, we would be able to fund free college for every American. That's $75 billion a year, the high estimate.
Oh my God.
End hunger in the U.S., which is $25 billion a year. End homelessness in the U.S., which is $20 billion a year, according to HUD. And give every American an extra $1,000 in their pocket per year.
Cool.
So what do you think, Kenna?
Damn, I have, like, lots of feelings about this. And to me, it seems like if it were clearly just a cut and dry issue of financial, like, finances, better outcomes, you would go with universal healthcare, even if you were a conservative.
Right.
Because also, if you're a conservative, you're like, you know, you're like, well, the main unit is the patriarchal family unit. And if you have all these things providing healthcare, that brings, you know, the family together. So it's like, even if you're like conservative, this makes sense. So I'm like, there's something else going on here. And it's in the culture.
Right. It's in the culture and it's in, like, the success of lobbying, which we talked about in our lobbying episode.
Yeah, it's the success. It's, like, the success of lobbying, the failure of government to provide necessary services. Like, just, like, if we're going to have a government, they got to fucking do the basics. This is one of the basics of having a government.
Right. Another thing I think is interesting, like how you're talking about like the conservative mindset and how like public healthcare would benefit the conservative mindset even, is the thing about our infant mortality rate. How many conservative people are so concerned about like the babies, yeah. You know, I want the babies to live. And then you look at our system and you're like, this system literally kills babies where mothers want babies.
Yeah.
Mothers are like, this is a baby. I have birthed it. I want it. I would like to give it a home. And it has died because of a failure in our medical system. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really surprised that that's not something more conservatives latch onto. But I guess it's just not a convenient talking point.
Yeah, it's not, because I feel like it's kind of like the Reagan dog whistle thing. About, like, you know how he, like, cut the welfare state in, like, the 80s because of, like, the quote, air quotes, like, welfare queens and, like, stuff like that, where it's, like, people, the undeserving poor.
Right.
Which is, like, to me, dog whistle for, you know.
Racism. It's just racism.
Which is, right. Like, I'm like, damn, does it always, like,
come? It's always racism, and racism is always eugenics. And then it's always capitalist benefit.
Yeah, or some, like, weird Ayn Rand thing that I think that doesn't even make sense to those people.
No, it doesn't. There are a lot of, like, logical inconsistencies and fallacies within it. Because, yeah, it's the same thing, like, how just giving homeless people houses is cheaper than what we're doing now. It's like just giving people free healthcare is cheaper than what we do now.
Yeah, and I think some people, you see those threads on Twitter all the time where it's like where people, like, we can't cancel student debt because I fucking paid mine back and I had to do all this shitty shit. And I'm just like, wow, that's so sad that, like, you had to. First of all, I'm like, I'm sorry you had to do that. That fucking sucks. I have had to do that. I have had to pay back debt that I felt was unfair. But that does not mean I don't want someone else to also have to pay back debt that is unfair as a punishment.
Right. Yeah. So one time with my health insurance, I just got reminded when you said this, there was this period where I finally signed up for health insurance on my own. This was many years ago. I was paying my health insurance for 6 months. When I signed up for my health insurance, I set up auto bill pay on the phone with the person who, like, sold me my insurance plan. So it automatically came out of my bank account every single month. And every month I saw it come out of my bank account, auto bill pay, you know, they deducted it, whatever. So imagine my surprise when 6 months later I got a bill in the mail that was like, hey, you've never paid your health insurance. Like, you owe us like thousands of dollars. And I was like, what? This isn't right. So I like pulled up my bank account, confirmed like, no, this is the amount that I'm supposed to pay every month. It's been coming out of my bank account. I have like whatever, like the little number, the confirmation number for all the transactions. And I called up the billing department and they were like, oh no, you've actually been paying somebody else's health insurance every month. Yeah, that's set up to a totally different account. Is it like a dependent or like a spouse? And I'm like, no, I'm just me. I have no dependents or spouses. Like, you guys set it up, you know? But yeah, so whatever. I could not convince them that I was not intentionally paying these strangers' health insurance, which, like, good for the stranger, I guess. I'm happy for them. But yeah, just to get out of the whole ordeal, I ended up having to pay, like, thousands of dollars out of my pocket to get the health insurance caught up to speed. And I don't know. It's just, like, when I think about the inefficiencies of, like, billing and all of these things, I look at that and I'm like, this is, like, a mess. Nobody knows what's going on here. And another thing that I think about too is, like when you go to get a procedure done, or like see somebody, they have to write up like medical codes to bill your insurance for them. And certain procedures, it's kind of an art deciding which medical code applies to which one. And they'll use one code, but your insurance will only accept the other code. So then they'll deny the claim, even though it actually is a covered procedure. It was just like billed slightly wrong, but you can look at it and be like, oh, I see why they wrote it up like that, but it actually needed to be written up like this. And then you have to get your bill corrected so your insurance covers it. But like, you don't even know how to do that or what. And then you have to call your insurance and be like, what was the code supposed to be? And they're like, I can't tell you. You know, it's like this whole, I don't know, it's just wild. And you look at all this and you're like, none of this is efficient. And we're paying so much more for this like weird bullshit.
I think it's just still, again, like it benefits the very, very top few, the bureaucracy, because they're making money off of, you know, and I'm talking about the richest.
Yeah.
Like the richest people who are like in the pharmaceutical companies, in the healthcare companies, you know, the 1%.
Right.
To me, it's to their benefit to keep this bureaucracy this way because they make money off of it and they don't give a fuck about like, maybe not, you know, who knows? I don't know what's in individual's heart, but it seems like the system is set up to where there is this tier of people who will always be able to get care because they're rich enough. They can have private doctors. They never have to think about this stuff.
Right.
So it's, they've never had to experience this stuff, or they're just like, oh, well, I can just buy my way out of it. So who fucking cares?
Yeah. It's really interesting though, just like how successful the propaganda has been on the American people.
Yeah. Where people are think that they're going to be, yeah. Like the Elon Musk stance blow my fucking mind.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just like, or like this. Yeah. I don't get it really. Like, where it's like, I get it. People are like, well, I hustle. Like, I work really hard. Like, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. But I think it's like tough for people to admit that maybe where they got in life is like pure fucking luck. Cause that's depressing. Yeah. And it actually goes against like what you think about when it's like, you think about like, I'm using air quotes, like the American dream, which is like different than like, Europe, where you were born into an aristocracy, you're born, you know, where in America, you're supposed to be like, you know, every person is equal. Like, you know, there is no lords and ladies and servants, you know, we're all supposed to be equal. Well, that's like a lie.
Yeah, totally a lie. I do actually, it's funny that she said the luck thing, because I'm like, any small amount of success I've ever had in my life, I'm like, I just got lucky and it will all go away in any minute. But no, I get that.
I you know, it's like, I feel like you can use luck. You can like, I'm like, you can ride the luck. like the Marlboro cowboy. Sometimes like you can just like, you get lucky and you can like ride the luck.
Yes. Yes. I think that's true.
But like, I, you know, I think like, but it's terrifying to think that like so many things that happen in our lives are out of our control
and random.
And random. And like talking about the fear episode, it's like, I think like, you know, they like evolutionarily we have fear to keep us safe.
Right.
And, you know, fear of like all this and our society you know, that we live in now is very fucking chaotic. So we want to think that we are in control.
Yeah, I think an interesting thing, though, like I said earlier, is that there just is so much social proof on this. Like, we have people in other countries who are like, whoa, what are you guys doing over there? We love our free healthcare. This is wild. And then, like, but again, the propaganda has worked on American people where they don't even know that. Like, I was talking to my mother, and she was like, oh, people from other countries come here to get healthcare.
I think my grandma has said something like
that. Yeah, and I'm like, no, people in the United States leave the country to go get affordable healthcare. Everybody I know goes to Mexico for their dental work or goes to, like, other countries. Like, I know somebody whose family was maybe Thai, and they went back to Thailand to get their surgeries. And then on the flip side of that, I had a friend who lived in New York, and she had a friend come visit from Germany. And the German friend got really sick while she was here, and she needed to go to an emergency room. She was very ill, and they were, like, worried it was spinal meningitis or something. And she was like, I cannot go to an American hospital. Like, I can never go to an American hospital. We all know that going to an American hospital will bankrupt you. In Germany, we all know that. And, like, they were even like, how can we scam this? Who do you look like that we know? Whose health insurance and ID can you use to try to pretend you're them? And then you know, it's like this weird thing where, like, my mother is like, ah, yes, everybody in other countries, they want the healthcare we have here. And you talk to people in other countries, and they're like, no, that's scary. We don't want that. We like what we have. How are you guys doing this? How are you staying alive? You know,
we
it's
are.
Really interesting. Yeah, we're not. We're dying.
We're suffering. Like,
we're suffering. Yeah, and I think, too, it's like that thing where, like, the propaganda has managed to convince everybody that everything is communism. And people are like, this is a thing I've literally seen people say on the internet in the past, like, 2 weeks, more than I've ever heard it in my life. The phrase, better red than dead. Like, oh no, better dead than red. That's it. Yeah. Like, I'd rather die than be a communist. Which, first of all, I'm like, whoa, hey there, McCarthy. It's not 1950 anymore. Like, are we still doing this? But then I think about it and I'm like, you really believe that? Like almost 900,000 people a year die of poverty-related issues in the United States. That's almost 1 million people a year dying from poverty. And you would rather die than do something that in your head you've decided arbitrarily might be communism or socialism?
I think people also don't really understand the term.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they don't understand the term because I think when you talk to people and you're like, let's say they're a religious person, like, let's say your church went around giving free healthcare to people. They'd be like, that's great. I would volunteer for that.
Yeah, Jesus did that.
Yeah. But they're like, the government, they're like, no fucking way.
Yeah, well, I think that's interesting, too, is, like, we've seen some politicians have more success using the phrase Medicare for all than we have with the idea of free healthcare or public healthcare.
Because people, even Republicans, love fucking Medicare. They love Social Security.
They're familiar with it.
The thing is like, once people get it, you can't take it away.
Yes.
Like, because also, like, people pay into that. Like, people pay their taxes for these services, and you are paying for the services you are receiving. Because you are collectively, as a group, if we're using money, using the system, you are paying that to get a better, you know, response. And most people, no, if you label it like they want the actual things, like, people want free healthcare, they want programs, like, but once you start labeling it, they're like, no way.
You know what that reminds me of is how in Alaska, everyone gets like that, like, oil dividend or whatever.
Oh yeah. I had a couple friends from Alaska.
Yeah. But like, Alaska's super conservative, but like the way they pitched that was just like, they're using our land. So like, we're, you know what I mean? And I think about just how like you can pitch and spin something in a way where it is more appealing to people. And like, that's the art of the sell, right? Like, how do you sell Republicans on their own beliefs, basically, that they should be more fiscally conservative and do things that are more prudent and that are more results driven?
Or just like, if you're Christian, like, the fucking morally right thing to do.
Yeah, it's the more, what would Jesus do? What pharmaceutical company would Jesus own? You know?
Jesus would get those stock dividends on the insulin, don't you know?
How much would Jesus charge for insulin?
Jesus would be a boy boss.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that is, though. You've gotta find the art of the spin in there somewhere. And I'm like, how, it's easy to talk to people who agree with you. It's harder to talk to people who don't agree with you, right?
I feel like usually, though, even, like, you know, sometimes you get down to it, you're like, well, do you think that people should die because they don't have money? Most people will say, of course not.
Some people will say yes, though.
Yeah, but that's actually very few people.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
most... And that's a socialized thing. It's like our society teaches people there's a scarcity mindset, so you got to compete, you know.
Yeah, it's more just like, oh, well, it's like, once you say the things, you're like, oh, yeah, that would be great. Like, I feel like most people would be like, all these things are great. But then the thing happens where they're like, but it's either impossible or bad people are going to abuse it.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I think the impossible thing again is the thing I keep getting hung up on, because I'm like, we see it's possible because other countries are doing it.
Yeah, but I feel like here we don't have a lot of access to that information for some reason.
That is true. We're like so brainwashed to think like America the best that like it never even occurs to us that like we are. Did you check?
Like, most people are fucking consumed by going to their jobs.
That's
and, like,
true.
Trying to make ends meet. Like, most people don't even have fucking $400 in savings.
Yeah.
So when are you going to have the brain space to think about all this shit?
Right, right. And then you feel defeated. And when you look at, like, our politicians and our political system, like, the thing, I think, like, the corporate lobbying episode we did, just about how, like, these things that are built in as like a feature of the system where like you're literally allowed to like just buy politicians and like nobody's mad about that. You know, it's like those things need to change first in order for anything to really change, because until those things change, what's the difference between a Republican or a Democrat?
Yeah. And it's like, I think that like, it's just like, if you do have the savings or you have the luxury of time or education or whatever, you're just like, well, that doesn't really affect me because I can pay if, like, something bad happens.
Right, you don't see it.
It's but, like, yeah, it's, like, issue. That's just the fucked up thing. It's, like, it's hard for it to change with the system that it's set up now, because gerrymandering, lobbyists, like, fucked up, like, judges and, like...
Yeah.
Just, like, I think that if most people literally could choose and had the vote, like, equally... most people would choose to have free healthcare.
That's true. I think so too. I think the tides are turning too. I think that it's getting a little bit better every single year. Maybe. I don't know. That's how I feel about the country in general. Maybe it gets a little bit better every year, even though overall it's largely discouraging and horrifying.
Yeah, I'm hoping it gets better.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Pick Me Up, I'm Scared. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/pickmeupimscared for $2 a month. You can join our Patreon. You can get access to a link where you can leave us voice memos. It maybe will be questions or comments that we can respond to on the air. And also, we've been posting some more like bonus content there lately. But also, if you don't want to give us $2 a month, that is totally cool, man. I get it. We're just glad you're here.